May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us this evening, hour, and always. Let us quieten the thoughts of our minds and join our hearts together in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, this evening hour we wish to thank and to praise Thee. To thank You for this beautiful day that You have given unto us. This beautiful summer day where Your natural sun has come from behind the clouds and warmed the earth. Dear Father, we thank You for all of the blessings that we have received. Those blessings needful for this life. All of those things that sustain life. For our friends and our families. Most of all, dear Father, we thank You for Your only Son, who came into the world, who lived and experienced all things as we experience in this life, and yet was victorious over sin and death, and arose on that Easter morning and ascended into heaven. Through His suffering, death, and resurrection, today each one who is able to believe that grace gift that You offer in this life, have hope of heaven. Dear Father, we ask that You would continue to bless Your children wherever they might be in this life, that You would bless this congregation, that You would take care of all of those things that trouble us and concern us on our minds and on our hearts, that You would give us those escorts who are able to help us on that way that leads to heaven's shore. Dear Father, when we have been able to gather this evening, we ask that You would give words to speak, that You would give ears to hear and hearts to believe that message that You give this evening in our lives. And we pray as Your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before reading the text that I would read for this evening, I want to bring greetings of love and God's peace from the children of God there in our home congregation where we have been for over 6 years. There in Monticello. We have been able to, in Monticello, watch the developments of many individuals and many people and many groups of people who are preparing for that festive summer service event that is right around the corner. And it's with much excitement that we are able to see the progress there. And we've wanted to remember those in Rockford who are organizing this year's summer services in prayer that the Heavenly Father would give them wisdom and strength to continue that work that they have already begun that will come to fruition in a week and a half. Read the Word of God, which is recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew from the 11th chapter, beginning with the second verse. Monday was St. John's Day on the church calendar, and this is one small portion of the life of John. And we read these words in Jesus' name. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto Him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Amen. This short portion from John's life is very familiar to each one of us. And perhaps it has been at different times in our lives a favorite text that we are able to return to, or for a period of our life may speak to us personally in a way that comforts us and gives us strength to continue to endeavor. The Heavenly Father is the giver of life. He is the one that has created all things, especially now in the late spring and in the early summer. We are able to see the beautiful creation work when the world around us, especially in this area, we are able to see much new life. And many of us, after getting through the winter time, we are able to look at nature and we are able to hear the birds singing in the early morning and hear the birds singing again in the late evening right before nightfall. And we are able to feel God's presence in His creation work. God, when He created that which He created each day of creation, God's Word says that God saw that it was good. God then created man, and man in all of God's creation work was given an undying soul. That man will live in this life, and then on the other side of the grave, man will live in eternity. Or the soul of man will continue on forever and ever and ever. God gave all of His creation to mankind, and He gave to Adam a spouse, gave Adam a helpmeet there in the garden. And there, God gave Adam and Eve the task of caring for the garden. And the garden was referred to as paradise. You and I have also been given a duty in our lives. We have been given many gifts. We have been given many blessings. We have been able to, with the mind that God has blessed His created people with, we have been able to reason and we have been able to consider those things for this life. And the mind that God has given us is a great blessing in our temporal needs and earning and caring for our temporal, we could say, our daily bread. And yet when God created man, and when God gave man an undying soul, He had created us not for this world, or for this time that we live, for the years that He has given us and already preordained, but God has made us and created us that one day we would be with Him in eternity. God's Word speaks to us of two ways in this life and speaks of us of two ways on the other side of the grave. God's Word speaks of walking in the light and walking in darkness. God's Word speaks of the Savior the one who came and atoned for the sins of all mankind, in God's Word speaks about the fallen angel, the enemy of souls, who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour, or whom he might draw away from God and the Spirit of God and the teaching of God's Spirit and lead them on the broad way which leads to eternal condemnation. God has also blessed this world and His creation work, and He has allowed the rain to fall upon the blessed or upon the righteous and upon the cursed or upon the unrighteous. When one is blessed, as we have recently heard, the example, for example, of the rich man and Lazarus, one of the texts set aside for last week when it spoke about the imperishable and the perishable treasure, we were able to hear how one is not, because they are blessed in this life with temporal goodies, they are not seen by God as being righteous, and for that reason God has blessed them temporally. But God has distributed temporal blessings throughout the world as He sees fit. And yet He has offered living faith to all men. And He has given to man a conscience. And when man's conscience is guided by His Word that is open through the Holy Spirit, then man is able to follow after God, and one is able to travel with the name of a child of God. Jesus once spoke to His disciples and said that many are those who would desire to see the things that you see and are unable to see it. He was speaking about God's kingdom. That there would be many that would wish to hear what you are able to hear, but are unable to hear. There are those in this world who are the children of God, owning by faith the name of a child of God, and there are those who are walking outside of God's kingdom, and they are not able to hear, or they are not able to see God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, God has given all of the gifts since the beginning of time for the day that God's children traveled upon this earth. Since the beginning of time, God has given the Spirit that has guided the thoughts, that has guided the minds of man, and the wisdom of man has not been able to allow man to hear if God has closed the ears. But when one has had a humble and a contrite heart, when one has asked the Heavenly Father for that greatest blessing in this life, then the Heavenly Father is able to lead them to His kingdom. And in God's kingdom, He has given those gifts that serve in this temporal life, the temporal needs of the congregation, and He has given the gifts for the spiritual life. James writes that every good gift and every perfect gift is given from the hand of the Father. God has given every good gift that sometimes I have thought to be those gifts that are those temporal blessings. The blessing of this church building, this beautiful place of worship that you have here. And this beautiful building, without the gospel of the forgiveness of sins through the power of the Holy Spirit would simply be a building of stone and of wood. But when God's Word is spoken here, and when God's Word is opened through the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father is able to own this congregation as His own. And He wishes to bless those here with a home, a spiritual home, where one is able to believe in their heart of faith that they are in the love of God's congregation. John the Baptist was one of those who was called to serve in this life for the short life that he lived on this earth. And his duty when he walked on the earth was to preach a sermon of repentance and to preach a sermon that there would be one who would come that would be the forgiveness of sins for all who would believe. So he preached the sermon of repentance and a sermon of faith to follow after that promised Lord and Savior. We could look at John's life and see how God had blessed John with a gift, and John used that gift to serve God and the listeners around him. It says that John wore clothing made of furs, and John lived in the wilderness, and John ate from the earth that which the earth gave. He ate honey and wild locusts and maybe other things that were not mentioned. And John preached as God opened unto him through the Spirit of God, which is God. And John preached a sermon, and he rebuked the king, King Herod, of the day that he lived. He rebuked King Herod because of his unbelief and because of his great sin that he did. And because of that sermon that he preached, did not fall on a believing ears and heart, but John was cast into prison. But John, here in our text, was not alone in prison. We can understand that John may have thought, when he was alone there in prison, he may have thought, and the enemy of souls may have even brought the thought to his mind, that John, you have served diligently, you have served faithfully, you have even served in a way that has caused you to be put into this prison. Your freedom has been taken from you, because you have loved God and served as you have instructed. And the enemy of souls would have wished to lift John up a little, that John would see some goodness in himself. Sometimes it seems that the enemy of souls finds a time when we, in our own thoughts, are weak. And sometimes the doubts of a child of God seem to be so overwhelming. And the sermon of unbelief comes close. I'm not now speaking of the love of the world and the things of this life, or those things that lead us to sin, or those things that are sin that are pleasing to the flesh. But I'm speaking to those thoughts that sometimes we have when we begin to dwell upon the mysteries of God. Living faith is a mystery. Sometimes I have thought in this way, that there are many in this world and in our communities who do much good and they serve their fellow man. Some have given their life a life of service. And yet they have not been able to receive the greatest gift in this life, the gift of living faith. Or the wars that rage all around us, and we are able to read of every day in the news throughout the world where we live. And the droughts and the famines, we begin to dwell on those things and we may question the Word of God. There are those in this world that teach that the Word of God is a book that has been written by man, and you and I also believe that it is written by men. But we, children of God, by faith believe what God's Word says when it says that it was written by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The oral tradition from one father to his son, or one mother to a daughter, or the parents to the children, from generation to generation, and then to the day when the word was written on parchment, and later from parchment to pages, and then translated, that throughout the entire world, it is able to be read in most languages of the people. And not only is it written in words that most people are able to read, but it is distributed in many ways today. We can find it on the internet. We can find it on our telephones. We can find it on our electronic devices. We are able to do searches very quickly on different portions. We are able to read the hundred or hundreds of different English translations. But God's Word also speaks to us that we would hold the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. That we would endeavor to keep a good conscience. When sin comes into our lives, upon our heart, whether it comes in word, in thoughts, or in deeds, that we would hasten to put away that sin. In God's kingdom, the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins in the name and blood of Jesus is that treasure that frees the burden of sin from the heart of a child of God. That gospel is so powerful, it can free one who is walking in unbelief from the snares of the enemy of souls and is able to believe that sin of unbelief forgiven. And they have been able to be freed from darkness and walk in light. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Dear child of God, this evening, when God has opened your heart and opened your ears to receive that which is offered throughout the world today, when you have been called to be a child of God, you can rejoice in your heart that still today you are able to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And you can with a humble heart pray that the Heavenly Father would always give you a heart and ears to hear, that you would not with your own mind of reason, which is such a blessing for this life, wish to understand and wish to be able to explain perfectly the mysteries of God. Or I'm going to say even partly, but you would simply be content in this, that you are able to own faith as a grace gift in your heart. And when God has given you a hearing ears and a believing heart, you have received the greatest gift that one could ever attain in this life. That gift of living faith carried the poor man Lazarus, who was gathering there the crumbs from the rich man's table. The dogs came and licked his sores, but God sent his angels and carried him to the bosom of Abraham. John, there in prison, when those believing brothers came to visit with him, they were able to speak of the way and the journey. And John spoke to them, and he gave them a question that they would go and find Jesus, who they spoke of all of the things that they had seen and they had heard in their travels. We remember that John, when he was there baptizing at the River Jordan, when he saw Jesus coming, he was able to say, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And then he was able to tell the people again, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world." And John was able to baptize Jesus there in the River Jordan. And when he baptized his Lord and Savior, God sent a dove that ascended upon the head of John, and a voice was heard, and John heard that voice together with the people, that "This is my beloved Son." John knew and John believed. And now, in a time of trial, of great sadness and difficulty in his life, he was able to receive those believing friends who often comforted him there. The kingdom of God approached him in his lonely state. And he spoke to those disciples that visited him there. And he said to them, "Go and find Jesus and ask him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And when these disciples of John approached Jesus, wherever Jesus was that day where they found him, they asked that question to Jesus. And Jesus knew of the reason that they asked. Jesus did not tell them to return to John and to rebuke him for his doubts. He did not tell them to return to John and speak to him that he would not listen to the enemy of souls and the lies of the enemy. But he said in this way, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see." Dear child of God, you and I are also like John. We need to hear again and again. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by and through the Word of God. When I already spoke of those 100 English translations that we can find, many of those translations the imagination of men have taken over, and those translations have been corrupt from the original writing of God's Word. And we wish to be careful, and we do not wish to go there to those places where that writing first seems to us to be foreign and to draw our heart from God and cause our imaginations to run wild. But we wish to come again and again to hear the message of the Good Shepherd that is found in God's kingdom, that is found amongst God's children Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, says Jesus, there am I in the midst of them. One person asked recently, how do you know if the voice that you are hearing is the voice of the Good Shepherd? How do you know that it is the teaching of the Holy Spirit? All I was able to answer was this, that the voice of the Good Shepherd comforts. The voice of the Good Shepherd gives hope. The voice of the Good Shepherd draws us closer. The voice of the Good Shepherd gives peace. Peace, freedom, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught his disciples about the Good Shepherd. Jesus said that I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they know me. Another voice they will not follow. It is good that we come again and again to the hearing of God's Word. And in the day that we live, we are able to even listen to those sermons that have been recorded and preserved. We are able to listen to those sermons in our daily calling. Some have spoken of their personal psalms, of how in their own homes amongst the children that those sermons have brought comfort. Today I was able to listen in my car, and the sermons that I was able to listen to, I heard the voice of the Good Shepherd. But neither do I want to stay away from the gathering of God's children. I want to come to be in the fellowship of the believers. There in the fellowship of the believers, those doubts that are often so close go away for a moment when I am able to hear, and then I am also able to see the goodness of God's kingdom. John was able to hear and to see again that message that Jesus sent to him there in the prison. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. If the gospel comforted John in his day, and it comforted those former saints to the day that you and I live, let us not tire of hearing the gospel. Let us continue to draw the blood drops of Jesus to our own hearts and to our own souls. Let us continue to strengthen one another with that gospel of the forgiveness of sins that lifts up the weary hands that hang down, as the prophet Isaiah speaks. Let us continue to encourage one another to come this way. And when the enemy of souls says that you are too tired or there is much other things to do, then it is good that we would turn and go to where the services of God's children have been prepared. And we especially wish to remember those children of God in their lonely outposts, who are unable to gather together at the services of God's children, in the armed services of our countries, or there in their temporal callings, away from the other children of God, maybe even here, as John was away for that time in prison. Here, near the last days of John's life, he was able to be comforted there in the prison, and there were services there, and God's kingdom came close and drew near unto him. Often the Old Testament writers in the Psalms speak of God's kingdom. They often wrote about Jerusalem, Even in the New Testament time, we are able to hear of Jerusalem. And we are able to hear of that new Jerusalem, the promise of the eternal home there in heaven. And when I have been able to read this week some of those Psalms, it has comforted me greatly that in God's kingdom, God has given for me a place where I can be cared for day by day, as John was cared for there in the prison. I would read from the 147th Psalm. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He called them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. Dear child of God, believe these promises are for you, the promises of God, and he will carry you all of the way to heaven's shore. Uplift your heart to believe, all sins, all doubts, all temptations forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious blood, believe all sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, believe all sins forgiven. Believe unto peace, unto freedom and joy in the Holy Spirit, unto the poor, the gospel is preached. Can I also believe my sins and doubts forgiven? In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close with the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.